He did really well, actually, you know, but it doesn't surprise me because he skates so well, he's such a hard worker, and he grows on you. So maybe the first couple days, it's okay. But then as you watch him and as you coach him and you stand on the bench with him, you understand that he's a very good player. So, no, he had a good time there, a real good experience. And it's good for him because now going into this year, you can see where you need to get to. Yeah. So there's some motivation there. You understand how hard you have to work and the different things they're telling you. But Tanner met with a strength and conditioning people after, and they filled them in on some things, and so all's good. I think it's a good experience, unless you do really well, like JJ Kara did the one year, and then they pull you out and they sign you right away. So you're always taking a little bit of a risk when these guys go to camp. So
what is the protocol for these unsigned guys to get invited to these camps? I mean, you said you did a little work for Tanner, but is it most of the time they happen to be watching somebody else and they pick up on this guy and then they ask him to come, or
that's what usually happens. Okay. Their scouts, are watching all year. So you see a lot of unsigned free agents at a lot of these development camps because they like to fill out their roster. They like to have 40-some players, depending which organization it is, at their development camp. And through their drafts and whatnot, you just don't have the bodies. But they invite some, some unsigned free agents, and just to fill out the camp, and guys are interested in, guys they want to see at their camp and get to know and see if they're worth following the following years.
Is the skating the first thing that a lot of time attracts an NHL franchise to a player like a Tanner Carroll, where they think the other things can come if the skating's already there?
That's part of it. I wouldn't say all teams that's just it. Some teams look at the size. They really do. If you look at the NHL draft this year, I forget how many players, the percentage were over 6 feet. It's just the way it is, And then when LA Kings, they have the year they do it, and pretty big team. But I would say skating and the hockey smarts, and the size, those three things come into play when you're looking at guys to invite to your camp.
Going back to the draft, if I'm not mistaken, 4 college players went in the first round, which we didn't have anybody last year, did we?
We did. College did, sure.
In the first round?
I think they did. Don't hold me to it. Okay. But yeah, I think there was 4 this year and 60-some overall.
62,
Which that are either, not many that are in college. Most of them are committed and headed to school the next couple of years. So, but you're going to find that. There's more and more college players playing in the NHL. It's almost 40, up to 40% now. So, and there's just more and more players playing. And they're getting better, and they're playing in, places you never thought. They come out of, like Florida and Arizona, and obviously California has been pretty good for a few years. So it's exciting. It's really exciting, and the quality of the player coming to college hockey has never been as good. There's been some great players, obviously, but as far as the skating and the skill and the size and the quality and the quantity is very good.
A couple of former Huskies got signed recently, one of them being Chris Connor, who's been tooling around in the NHL for a long time. He's doing a really good job, in my opinion, of sticking around and making himself still worthy to many big teams.
Well, he is, and credit to Chris. The thing about him is you can bring him up. He can play a great role on your minor league team, but then when you bring him up, he can fit a role there too. And he does such a great job because he's can skate. He works extremely hard, and he's got some good hockey sense. So obviously, teams value what he can bring to them. He's a good guy to have in your locker room, and he's a good guy to have on the ice for your organization. So he's become a very valuable player, a depth player to NHL teams.
Brett Olson getting a two-way contract too. Good for Brett.
Yeah, good for Brett. His first deal was not an NHL contract. Mm-hmm. It was a straight American League contract, and it's a difference there. They can pay you less, and at times they don't feel as obligated to bring you up the NHL. So I think he's got a very good deal with Florida. He's got an NHL contract, so he'll get paid more, obviously, even if he plays in the minors. And the thing about it is they'll he's going to get a shot. I really believe at some point he's going to get a shot to play in the NHL. He's a coach's dream. You have to get to know him a little bit because he's not as flashy as some players, but when you get him in the locker room and on the ice and in practice and you're on the bench with him, you realize how valuable he is and what a great team player he is. He had a number of teams interested in this year, so we had a number of calls just checking out his character more than anything, and good for him, and that organization's on the rise, and I hope he gets a shot with him.
Kind of wise beyond his years. even though he was an older guy when he was here.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's mature, I guess, I would say, beyond his years. I mean, he's one of the best captains, I've mentioned this before, that I've ever had, including, you know, my 23 years at Michigan. We had some great captains there, and Ole ranks right up there with any of them. I mean, he was like having another coach in the locker room, and that's what you're looking for, you know, someone who's serious, but at the same time, you know, can rally the troops and is part of the team. He did an excellent job here, and he's I told someone, I mean, if you need somebody in your company, he's the kind of guy you'd hire.
What is his biggest asset and his biggest detriment, I guess, and maybe that's not the right word, as far as getting to the NHL? I mean, what do you worry about him not having enough of, and what do you think he can bring to a team the most or the best?
Well, his asset, I think, is just his character and his competitiveness. I mean, he's a team-first guy, and you tell him to go stand in the corner and eat sand, he's going to do it. He's not going to question it. He's going to trust the coaches and, you know, understand that they're asking him to do that for the betterment of the team. It might not be the betterment for him, but the betterment of the team, and that's the way he is. He's just such a great team guy. And then the character. I mean, he's going to be working out when no one's looking, not, you know, just working hard when someone's standing
that's
over.
That's a good point there. There's probably a lot of people that do that.
Well, no question. and that's why he's going to continue to play. I mean, he is he's dripping character, you know, and you can't. Something you just can't go out and buy, Dirk, in a dime store or grocery store. You know, you have to be wired that way, and he's hardwired the right way. And his detriment is just, you know, maybe you know, he's not as flashy, and it's not really a detriment, but you just have to get to know him. You know, you have to understand he can play up on one of your top two lines and do a good job, and play on your bottom two lines and do a good job. He's just an all-around player, but it takes a while because he doesn't have that one thing. That one thing that he does really, really well, which most guys do in the National Hockey League. Most guys, there's a reason that they do that one thing really well. And some guys do a few things well, but you have to do one thing really well. And I think with Ole, he's just a good all-around player.
Well, John Scott does one thing really well.
Well, there you go.
And he's picked up another one-year contract with San Jose. And your thoughts on John's career right now, and how much further he can take it?
Well, John, and good for John. You know, I mean, I know he went through some issues there this year with the Phil Kessel incident and whatnot. But he has a value. He brings a value to a team, and he's a good teammate. And I think that's why you see him in San Jose. They understand that, and you need that size, and you need that a little bit of that grit, and a little bit of that policeman on your team still. And John can do other things too. Mm-hmm. You know. I'd like to see somebody stick him in front of the net on the power play. I think he'd do a great job. So, you know, he's going to continue to find work in the NHL because he can get around the sheet well enough. He's smart enough, and then obviously he's tough enough. So, and he's a good teammate. He's a really good teammate, and I think that's important.
What about Josh Robinson, Coach, after winning the Cup? Where do you think how much further can he bring his goaltending closer to the NHL on a regular basis?
Well, you know, it's tough without seeing him on a regular basis, but I know he had a really good year with Idaho in the East Coast League and did a phenomenal job there, and then obviously they brought him up to the American League, and he played with the Iowa Stars and got in some games there and did a really good job. So I think what he's done is taken advantage of the opportunity. And, you know, Dallas, unfortunately for Josh, is probably pretty deep in goaltenders. Yeah. So he might get a chance there. But if not, you know, as long as you continue to play well, people take notice. And he'll get another opportunity somewhere else. But from what I hear, talking to Scott White, who's the general manager with the Iowa team, he said he really had a good year. He's really improved and, you know, very dependable and very capable goalie. So good for Josh.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. We're hoping to have assistant coach Joe Sean with us in just a little bit. It's more of the Mel Pearson Show. If you have a question for coach, you can email it to me, dj@themix93.com, and we'll ask those questions towards the end of the show. Mel Pearson Show continues right after these.
Don't pretend that you didn't just look out the window.
Or crack a smile thinking about how you used to get so excited that you could hardly contain yourself while doing what can only be described as the ice cream dance. Well, now that McDonald's has 49-cent cones, you can have that feeling anytime you want. And you don't have to chase after a moving vehicle to get it.
Soft serve 49-cent cones, only at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary.
Since when do you drink coffee?
I don't.
What do you call that?
It's a McCafe iced coffee.
It's coffee on ice.
No, it's iced coffee.
So what are you saying, Professor Science?